to our next edition and episode of Feral and Fabulous. We have a friend of the podcast here today. We have the fabulous Dr. Rama Pemmaraji Rao.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming back and hanging out with us.
Thank you. We're all peas in a pod.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. Right. We are loving life right now. We've got a little shot on board, some tequila. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to visiting with you about all kinds of stuff.
And sure. Just say my name 21 times.
Oh gosh.
You'll get enlightened. Rama. Sacred name. Hey.
Well, 21 that's true.
Times. There you go.
Okay. Well,
check it out.
I'm gonna need another shot, I think, to do that.
Yeah, so, that's right. Maybe three.
I wanted to talk a lot today about, I mean, there's so many things I want to talk about, but one of the things I really wanted to kind of do a deep dive on with you today is AI.
AI, okay.
I had my son on the podcast, this was a while back, and we were talking a lot about AI, but I want to talk to you about AI in a lot of different ways. In
Absolutely,
other words,
yes.
Not only in life, but if you can talk a little bit about how AI impacts medicine.
Oh, sure.
And all the different facets. It is a huge area. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, it's I.
Yeah.
You know, I believe me. Yeah.
So. Exactly. AI is I.
That's right. Yeah. Well, this is a huge subject and it's only beginning. But, you know, there's many different facets. There's so many areas. There's the technical area. There's the moral area. There's the philosophic, spiritual, religious side. And where do we fall in between high tech and ourselves as living beings?
Right.
I think that's what's the root of it all. So it doesn't matter whether it's medicine, business, law, AI is going into everything and already is.
Right.
It's only going to get better. It's only going to get more and more and more. And I think it's been designed that way over decades. They've been thinking, you know, the powers that be, been thinking about this for decades and decades. It's just a slow introduction into a new way of living. What we do with it, though, is critical on a more serious note.
Yeah, what do we do with it?
I think there's a fine line between using it as a instrument in the positive.
Okay.
But in this world of, you know, dichotomy, there's always the negative.
Right.
And I think what's happening is there's an agenda. Well, there's many agendas, but there's an agenda to see how far it can go to replace the human mind, body, spirit, emotions with technology.
Yeah.
I think that's a big area that people are rolling the dice to see. Let's see what we can get away with here.
Right.
Are humans going to trade off their unique divine characteristics? And I use divine in general, not any religious.
Understand.
Religious purpose.
Okay.
But are we going to do that, or are we going to give away completely our power to intelligence that is thinking at, of course, rapid rates and at astronomic speeds?
Right.
Are we going to give our power away, or who's going to control who?
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Is it going to be a marriage or a divorce or a separation? We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what the big question mark is.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, so give me some examples of in terms of medicine.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. How is AI being used in medicine? The good, bad, and the
ugly.
You know, ugly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it's very useful because right now what they're doing is they're taking the biggest pain, let's just be honest, for physicians is documentation.
Right.
And hospitals, clinics, this and that are getting more and more obsessed with these incredible details that, you know, you do all this stuff, you get reams and reams of paper.
Right.
And then you've got one sentence about what's going on with the person. Yeah.
Right.
And you're flipping through all this paper. So, but what AI does is it puts together a huge amount of information in a succinct way, but it's extremely thorough.
Okay.
And it can go to any level. Like, for example, you can dictate a little bit and then it'll document your entire note, your progress note, your history and physical, your psychiatric eval, all that stuff almost instantaneously, which saves the physician endless amounts of time, energy, and dollars. Because, you know, time is money. And so, and also the fatigue factor.
Right.
Yeah. So it summarizes it. However, we have to still screen it because it's not perfect and it's not anything that's a total substitute because we still have the liability.
Right.
And so how much is too much and how much is too little? It's like we need to, it's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Right.
So for documentation, it's really a useful area.
Okay.
But still the kinks are being worked out.
Okay.
I'm oversimplifying because there's 100,000 companies now that are marketing for doctors to do documentation.
Yes, exactly. Do you use it in your practice?
I use it some in a modified way, but not fully yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm still trying to gauge its usefulness, and I think it's an individual choice.
Okay, sure.
But then also now what's happening more and more is doctors are just pushing a button and getting all this information very rapidly. Because like before, like when, you know, in our day, you had to go to the library, you had to search these journals, yes. You had to go look up X, Y, and Z. You had
very
to
time consuming.
My Lord, it was time consuming nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now in an instant, you can get a summary of like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of journals on that one
right.
subject.
Right.
And then from there, it expands and expands. You just ask what to do.
Right.
You know? So
exactly.
So for information, it's also very excellent.
Right.
And very, very much will broaden a physician's or any healthcare worker's knowledge
right.
faster.
Right.
Because you have so much rapid, that labor
right.
of going in and searching,
right.
you can use to gain your own knowledge
right.
and then share that with patients,
right.
which is really excellent.
Right. Well, I'm curious because as a psychiatrist,
yeah.
I mean, obviously when you have patients that come to you that,
yeah.
that see you, how much are you dealing with them using AI to figure out what's wrong with them versus again, you
yeah.
having the knowledge of and the background as being a psychiatrist, obviously you
yeah.
went through years of medical school.
Right.
You have training.
Right. Like,
there's a lot
what am I,
more.
Chopped liver?
Right,
yeah.
right. So, right. So I'm trying to figure
it's
out,
like
how
hey,
do
okay.
how, as a physician,
you want to prescribe yourself? Go
right,
ahead.
Right, yeah. exactly, exactly. So how do you deal with that? And is that a problem? Like, do people come in and say, well, I talked to mm-hmm. ChatGPT
yeah,
and they
it's
told
happening.
Me I'm
yeah.
a...
yeah, I'm borderline
you know,
personality.
Exactly.
I said,
or
yeah,
whatever.
You know, you're right. No, just kidding. For that matter, hey, I concur. I concur. Yeah, there you go. You're a
Are you the backup?
Yeah, yeah, you're a fatal attraction. Yeah, there you go.
You are Glenn Close.
What you going to do about it?
In fact, I've got to say this just because I just was doing this yesterday. I was texting with a friend and, you know, my favorite meme or GIF or whatever you want to call
right,
it of all
right.
time is where Glenn Close is sitting right. by the lampshade in the dark
with the
and
knife.
she's pulling the chain, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I digress. But I mean, seriously,
and this generation doesn't know Glenn
no,
Close.
No, they have no. They don't even know what we're talking
they can
about.
Look it up, yeah, but
no,
it's funny.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me
right.
when a patient comes mm-hmm. in and they're like, I went on Claude or ChatGPT
yeah.
or whatever,
uh-huh.
and they, I think that I have bipolar.
Yeah.
I think I have, you know, whatever it is that they,
right.
there's so many, you know, disorders
yeah.
out
sure.
there.
Yeah.
What do you do? I mean.
Yeah, there's many ways to take it.
Okay.
First of all, let me back up a bit in the history. People were doing that anyway when the web came out. You know, bringing
good
in
point.
This and that. Oh,
good
the
point.
Web said this. Oh, the web said that. And oh my goodness, this medicine has ten different negatives and on and on and on.
Oh,
so they
really?
Were doing that anyway.
Okay.
This is just more in depth.
Okay.
So a doctor, it depends on how savvy they are
right.
in terms of taking it offensively, taking
okay.
it defensively. Or so an approach says, oh, really? Okay. Well, you know, what did you learn from there? Let's talk about it.
Okay. And
yeah.
maybe even their perspective on what
yeah.
they learned can
yeah,
tell you,
learn? You
something about them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to some physicians, let's say, excuse me, I'm the doctor here and I'm going to tell you what to do. And if you don't like it, then you can find somebody else. Thank you.
That's what
that
I
does
wondered.
Happen.
No, that's why
yeah.
I asked, because in yeah. my mind, I was kind of thinking that there would be physicians out there
oh,
that
totally.
Would be very upset.
They are. Some
that
of them.
They are. They would feel like I'm being replaced, you know, by AI. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like, in my opinion, that's not the case.
Well,
but
again,
I feel like
we,
you have to yeah. understand it.
Well, again, as we talked about in our previous episode,
yeah.
the patriarchy of medicine is changing to some degree.
Right.
Where it's not just, you know, father knows best or doctor, you know, Marcus Welby, MD. Again, most kids won't know that, but they
I
can
know.
Look it up on.
I know.
They can look it up where,
I
you know,
know,
it's very patriarchal. I know better. And, you know, they're there, dear. Take two aspirin in the morning and
yeah.
we'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
It's not so much like that. So the best approach, in my opinion,
yeah.
just be open-ended and just be very, very, just be normal. Say, okay, what did you learn? Let's learn together with it.
Right.
But you
right.
know, and I introduce like, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
But you know what? From the human side or the professional physician side,
yeah.
I feel this, this, and this. So sometimes I give a little bit of a choice because
yeah.
it's good to give choices and options.
Right.
Because, you know, there's no hard and fast rules.
Right.
So the best way is to just keep it open-ended and allow people to navigate it to some degree to themselves first. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me, I mean, obviously we're talking about how it works in psychiatry.
Well, I'm medicine curious. Too. Yeah.
No. That's why I want to
do medicine too.
I want to do a dive into the surgical standpoint of it, because this is years ago.
Right.
My middle son had to have his kidney removed. And this is, again, many years ago.
Yeah.
And when they did that, they did it with like Star Wars type technology where they went in, and it was kind of like the way it was explained to me is they did a very small incision, but they kind of used a robot to go in and actually kind of like maybe chop up the kidney and then remove it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was all done kind of like a gaming kind of situation where the doctor literally had these things that he's maneuvering.
Right.
And so tell me, is there a lot of that going on in surgery or in not yet?
In the U.S., I think there's some, particularly with different orthopedics and different kinds of mechanical types of surgery or other factors. I don't think it's quite mainstream with robotics. I still think there's a huge human touch.
Sure.
In our country, at least.
Sure.
And so you touch on a good point, because robotics are now, and the procedures itself are connected to AI, where the AI is directing that technology for those procedures.
Okay.
With physicians there.
Right.
So it's all kind of a hybrid.
Right.
And then the other piece of it is what you were talking about with the knowledge bar, what we were talking about, is that what's happening is more and more physicians, like in the surgery room or whatever, they are looking at AI for a decision algorithm kind of suggestion box in a way.
Right.
And so the AI will go on and on and on about this, that, and that based on what's happening.
Right.
But then you have to have that human factor in terms of the medical decision judgment.
And the interpretation.
Right. And the emotions and the intuition.
Right.
Now, this is what I'm talking about. That's the fine line that's going to be tested.
Okay.
How far are we going to go to allow AI to make these critical medical decisions and create a boundary for like, okay, you know what? AI is AI, but it's not human.
Right.
And it's going to be up to physicians or any field for that matter to set the limit.
Right.
Right. Now, if we don't, then heaven help us. Because what's going to happen is there's going to be cases where AI is making mistakes. And, you know, it's always said under there's always disclaimers. Okay, it can be wrong. And it's constantly learning.
Right.
So like sometimes I just kind of correct it and say, oh, yeah, you're right. Let me go check. That's what the AI is saying. Oh, that's right. You know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes.
That's where I'm saying there's a fine line between the human and the machine.
Yeah.
And it's astounding because you know how in the East, thoughts are one of the most powerful things.
Right.
But how do you prove a thought? You just do it.
How do you?
Right. And then all of our stuff that we've invented from time immemorial comes from thought.
Yeah.
But then we are inventing all these things we can't do as individuals.
Right.
But mind and thought power is creating all these incredible inventions. So from thought itself, and behind thought is soul and spirit, that crystallizes into thought. There's pre-thought. And so then, can AI really do that? When you sit down with AI, I've played with it in many different systems. It says very clearly still that it can't think, it can think, but it can't feel. It doesn't have emotions, and it knows it doesn't have self or soul or that human divine spark.
It does know that.
Well, so far.
Okay.
I mean, you know, hey.
That's why I'm asking.
So
I'm
far,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Still in its humility stage.
Okay.
But then there's all kinds of, you know, catastrophe scenarios and all kinds of fear going out there. Like, okay, what if you teach it to be evil?
Right.
Then what's it going to do? I mean, you know how many hundreds of movies
are
out there where AI takes over? And, you know, remember, what was his name? Will Smith.
Yeah.
That robot movie.
Absolutely.
Where they take over.
Right.
I don't know. That's possible. That's possible.
iRobot. Yeah. That's right.
And they're showing robots and stuff now having temper tantrums and, you know, hitting people throwing on the floor and having a tantrum.
All right. Tell me if this is real. I'm going to have to ask the producers. But the other day I saw online, you know, somewhere on social media where this robot, it crashed into
the mirror.
And it shattered and went everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that was an actual thing that occurred. Mm-hmm. And it's like, who knows? It malfunctioned, which humans can malfunction. I mean, anything, even a machine.
I don't.
Let's face it. Well, no. I mean, I get that. It's like we'd all like to think that we don't ever malfunction. I malfunction on a daily basis. Right. You know, just ask my husband.
I'm on a moment-to-moment basis.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Same for me. But I'm like, okay, machine, like your vehicle that you drive, it malfunctions. What do?
Yeah.
You take it to the, you take it to the place to get fixed.
Right.
But these robots, AI, whatever you want to call them, they can malfunction.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen when that happens? Because the stakes can be really high.
They can.
And so I just wonder about that. And I also wonder, this is something that Katie and I just earlier this week, we were in a luxury masterclass and we were talking about luxury real estate, and the guy that was doing the seminar, he was talking about people that are in relationships with AI.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier, you and I.
So tell me about that. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of like, when I was hearing him say that, I was like, that's crazy, but it sounds like it's really happening.
Yeah, well, because on our planet, the disease of loneliness is huge.
Right.
I mean, astronomic. So again, it's part of what we talked about earlier, is that let's see how far we can go with this.
Right.
So yeah, of course, you have AI buddies, you have AI, let's just say, intimate stuff going on. You have AI everything, and you have AI companion. You also have AI therapy now too.
Right.
There's devices, you put it on the desk, and it's an AI therapist. So you sit there and it's your therapist.
Right.
So that's also an area evolving. And so is that going to replace the human touch? We don't know yet.
Right.
And so, but it's being tested to see how far we can get away with.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then, so people are thinking, gee, you know, a machine is here for me all the time. Doesn't argue unless it creates that argument as it evolves. We don't know yet. And, you know, I don't have to be accountable. If I don't like it, I just push the button off.
Right.
Just like, you know, social media, you can just click on and click off and hey, there's no accountability.
That's the problem.
That's the
accountability.
There's no accountability. It's just like on, you know, Facebook breakups, you know, like I have people coming in all the time with sob stories about how their boyfriend or girlfriend broke up with them. They didn't even tell them. And then all the pictures are all replaced.
I think it's called
Facebook.
Ghosting.
Yeah, with a twist. Now just imagine
ghosting with a twist.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, catfish.
So just imagine if you want to break up with your AI buddy. What do you do? You know?
Yeah. How do you do that?
Yeah, click a button off.
Yeah.
But then we'll have to see. Is there gonna be like, you know, real bereavement? Is there going to be grief that the AI something did something? We don't know yet. It's just insane.
I know, but this is all stuff that kind of like messes with my head and makes me wonder what the heck is the future going to be like, that people are in relationships with AI and what does that even look like? And to a certain degree,
it's already happening.
No, I agree. But tell me what your thoughts are, because do you think that basically social media and the whole idea of the internet, has that created a lot of the loneliness that you're talking about that occurs, that causes people to get into AI relationships? Because I feel like there isn't the social kind of physical interaction that we used to have. Like when you and I grew up back in the Inspiration Hills days, I mean, we'd go hang out. We'd go ride our motorbikes.
We'd actually play real checkers. We'd play real card
games. We were
games.
In person playing
Not
Go
just
Fish.
Clicking a button. Yeah.
War,
yeah.
Battle, you know, hearts, spades.
That's the whole point. Yeah.
We used to be in person playing all those different games.
Yeah.
And we had the social interaction that you don't have anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, see, the loneliness was already there. It's
true.
Just exponentially being.
Yeah, but don't you feel like
expanded?
The internet is in some ways isolating? Although I do agree,
true.
It can put you in touch with people across the country via Zoom or whatever.
And that's the positive.
Yes.
But on the negative side, or
it's
not
still
so positive,
not being there in person.
It's that again, let's see what we can get away with by isolating people, shutting and locking down their humanity and their ability to relate, to love, to, you know, share and be what we know as human.
Right.
And yes, of course, it's creating isolation. You have adolescent kids just sitting at home and their friends are all on Facebook.
Right.
And that's their friends.
Right.
Yeah. Or like we said before, you have people texting at the dining table.
Yes.
Hi, can you pass me the pepper?
No, it's so true, though. It's true.
Yeah.
I feel like they can be sitting next to each other and saying, I'm sorry, I have to break up with you.
Yeah.
They're not going to verbalize that to their girlfriend or boyfriend, but they're going to literally text it sitting next to them.
Right. Now, I mean, go to any restaurant and you'll see everyone's heads down and they're all just texting. Is anyone talking? Sometimes, but yeah.
No, you're right. More.
Now, just with the AI, it's just going to go to another level. Because I don't know, you'll have a robot sitting next to you. You have the robotic waiter on and on. Some of that's already happening.
Right.
And so that's one thing. The other thing area, too, is the creative.
Because humans are. Tell me about that.
Yeah, because humans are uniquely creative. And what's happening is, I think it's a interference in a way of that creativity, because you can just push a button and have AI art. So why do you need somebody to be an artist? You know?
Right.
Right. And.
But is that even the same thing?
It's, well, remains to be seen. How,
I know.
How conditioned will people be to just accept that versus the original? See, there's a certain group of people who are still living that have had both sides of the fence.
Yeah.
But soon that generation's going to go. Well, and the, so that you'll only have the new generation.
Isn't that our generation?
Yeah. They're waiting for us to croak.
No, yeah. I get that. And once we do croak.
Right.
What's going to happen? Like, I'm so curious. It's, you know, like, what I mean? I'd love to be a fly on the wall after I'm gone. Well,
we will. So well, maybe.
Exactly. But it's like, come back as another, you know.
But it's like, they're the kid or the generation, they're not sitting on both sides of the fence. They only know one way.
Right.
And that's also another agenda going on, is to let go of what was and to condition people to what we want in a form of control. And okay. So back to the creativity factor, you know, that's one of a human being's unique gifts.
Right.
You know, one of the divine sparks of many.
That's what I think how we feel about life in general is that, again, it's the humanity of the whole thing that is so intriguing and so, to me, fulfilling in so many ways that I think the younger generations coming up don't have that same appreciation for, or am I wrong?
No, I think that's...
Or am I just because we're OG kids and, you know...
No, I think that's more and more accurate. And so, again, what remains to be seen, every area, every career is going to have to stand up. Artists are going to have to stand up. Doctors and all, saying, again, like we talked about, where's the boundary here? Right. And so I think it's like a pendulum. We're going through it, you know, to one extreme. We need to come back and say, okay, we've seen what it can do. But folks, come on. We need to come back here to the reality of us being living tissue, breathing, soul encased beings.
I totally agree. Like my granddaughters are, you know, obsessed with Morgan Wallen.
Yeah.
And that's the real life Morgan Wallen. Mm-hmm. But at some point in the future, is there going to be like an AI star that's created?
Already is.
Right.
Oh my gosh. On Facebook and everywhere. Sometimes they're creating these AI stars that don't even exist.
Right.
These singers and dancers, and it's getting harder and harder to distinguish what is really AI and what's real.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
Yeah, it's getting better and better. And so it's going to be interesting to see at some point.
How do they do concerts, though? Is it a hologram of them?
Hologram, but it's also fake because technology.
It's not real.
It's not even real, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So soon a conditioning can occur. Well, what does it matter? Real or fake, it's still the same entertainment, or it's still the same this, it's still the same that. Yeah, that's part of it.
But then how do other people, and this is something that even my son Jackson and I talked about, it replaces so many jobs.
Well, that's the whole other area, huge.
Like how do people support themselves? Mm-hmm. How is that going to work if everything is artificial intelligence? Is it all the people that know how to do AI that they're the only ones that have jobs? I mean, there seems like there would still have to be a human moving forward, a human factor, or no?
I don't think it's answered yet. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest issue is with that, it's like, where is humanity going in terms of depending on this and being completely swallowed by it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because again, it depends on where we're headed. Because see, I don't usually like to do fear. Because there's so much fear on the internet and this and that, we're going to be taken over and on and on. Okay, maybe. But at the same time, we have to really look at what's happening and understand that something that's non-living is always going to have its limits.
Right.
There's always going to be that, in my view, that divine view that we have as unique beings.
Yeah.
How much of that are we going to sacrifice or not is what's being tested.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. I totally. So let's take that divine view that you were just talking about, right. Only let's put it more into the spiritual soul.
Sure.
Yeah. You know,
they're all interrelated. Yeah.
Yeah, they are interrelated. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about that aspect of AI.
Because I think one agenda is to dehumanize by getting people to forget their divinity. So they can be more controlled.
How dangerous is that, though?
Well, it's very dangerous, yeah. But then it's happening and it's being allowed.
Right.
So people need to wake up because everything is so conditioned these days. There's all these narratives. There's all this stuff coming out about, you know, our food and all this. And that's right. What we've been talking about.
Right.
But it's no different than with this. So people need to wake up to realize that they are that spark and that everything is so externally focused.
Right.
See, the whole idea of media, television, all the stuff since the 50s is to keep you externally focused so that you don't look within yourself.
Right.
How many people can sit for 10 minutes with themselves in total silence?
It's not easy.
It's not easy, yeah.
It's not easy.
Much less do a real meditation because people think they're meditating. And, you know, hallelujah, they're making the effort. But there's different stages. There's concentration
right.
and focus.
Right.
Then there is the continuous focus on one object, and then that leads into a meditation where you get that feeling that's in the scriptures and other things about that unity awareness, unity consciousness that we don't have in our day-to-day
right.
unless you practice.
Right.
So how few people can do that? So the real issue is everything is going externally focused, and this is no different making it worse.
Right.
Yeah, in
right.
that aspect.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you think AI is going to impact like churches and organized religion?
Yeah, that's a big area because
I'm hearing a lot about it.
Are you going to have a robotic minister?
I mean, no, that's why I'm asking.
Right.
I'm hearing all right. kinds of stuff and yeah. I'm like, what is that going to look like?
Yeah, that's remains to be seen.
Okay.
But I think that
thing, right?
It is a thing, of course.
Okay.
And every field is now affected. And the issue is how far are we going to allow this?
Right.
As mass humanity.
Right.
And at least a certain critical number to have the butterfly effect where it affects everything as a whole.
Right.
In terms of allowing something to say, you know, slow down, cowboy.
Right.
We're not going to do this.
So tell me, who is the governing entity for all of this?
Oh, that's a very vast subject. That's for a completely different topic. Yeah. Right.
Well, here's the great news is right. because you're a friend
Let's
of the
just
podcast.
Say the powers that be.
Yeah.
The powers that be. Yeah.
Okay.
In that sense. Yeah.
Okay. Right. No, I do agree, but because you're a friend of the podcast, we're definitely going to have you back again many more times because there's so many different things that I want to dive into that I feel like there's just not enough time in the mm-hmm. day or even certainly not in an episode
right.
to discuss.
Right.
But I think it's such a big thing that I'm not sure people really realize what the actual impact is going to have of AI on all of our lives in every sense.
Well, it's all planned. I mean, it started with cell phones.
Right.
Where everybody got a cell phone.
Right.
And so, okay, now everyone's just looking down. And so it's a conditioning.
Right.
Then they go. Then there's the next step, the next step, the next step. So we can't end this episode without talking about chips, microchipping, implants, and all that, because that's all coming.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me a little bit about that.
Because that's also artificial intelligence. And so what's happening is they're trying to create a human, a biology interfacing with mechanics.
Okay.
And so by doing that, that's also a way of reducing one's internal knowledge.
Okay.
And also reducing the ability to recognize oneself as a unique human. But see, what's the danger
are they
of this?
Are they chipping people?
Well, in China, they're starting to do all that a lot. This is hugely done there.
Are we talking about like the movie The Matrix? Like, you know, Keanu Reeves and
I think
isn't
it's worse.
Neo? Or,
yeah,
it's worse?
I think it's going to be. I think the agenda is worse than The Matrix. And so when you but here's the agenda with the chipping. Okay, let's say you're chipped and you start having these, you know, artificial powers. You know, you start thinking like an AI person because you have that chip. Your knowledge is expanded, or you get certain powers. Let's say
okay,
but then
so the chip is physically inside you.
It can be, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, of course.
Okay,
so with that chipping, you get that, but then there's going to be this pressure that if the people that don't want it,
yeah,
they're going to lose out because they're not going to be able to compete.
Well, at least
the people with the chips.
At least if I'm chip, my husband can find me.
But then there's a chip for you to block it. Just like an app, you know, block
if
it.
We're,
yeah.
If we're in Vegas and I have right. too much tequila, he'll be able to put his
That's
find,
right.
find my wife right, but app
see
that, on.
But you bring up a good point because, see, Big Brother wants you to be monitored with the chip. So yeah. that let's say, I mean, there's all these fear factors going, but it is happening some in
but
China.
But is that why yeah. they want us to use everything? Like a lot of different businesses will not accept credit. I mean, they will not accept cash.
Yeah, it's all
They're
happening.
A cashless business.
Yeah, starting.
So
yeah,
that
yeah.
it's only, you can only buy things with mm-hmm. a card.
With the card.
So
yeah.
that everything is trackable.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, it's going to be more when you have the... when you have Bitcoin or whatever version's coming of, you know, digitalized income.
Okay.
And but also what the scary thing too is.
It's all scary.
But the scary thing too is, and it's happening, is that you're being monitored. And so like if you're not behaving, then that's recorded automatically. So you won't get your month's ration of gas, food, this and that, because you're being punished. If you deviate from
right.
the narrative.
Right.
So that's another form of control. That's one extreme that is being projected as a fear. But remember, time in any given moment, there's infinite possibilities
yeah.
and infinite ways of how mass humanity will go.
Yeah.
And so that's just one timeline.
Yeah.
Another timeline is, you know, a very useful, productive AI where humans are balanced and know, you know, where the limit is and use it for useful purposes. And then the other extreme is, you know, the Borg. You know,
oh gosh, do I remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Star Trek, yeah. Galactica.
And resistance is futile.
Yes,
so, yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Resistance is futile.
Right, it can be.
Yeah, for
if
sure.
We allow it. Yeah,
yeah. No. Believe me, I was a Trekkie back in the day, so
I
totally get that.
And still are.
Yeah. Well, one more thing I do want to kind
of,
and we're not going to cover it in this episode, but we're going to have you back because there's so many more things I want to talk
so
to you
much,
about.
Yeah.
But tell me about the dummies. From
the
back in the yes,
you
the
mean
dummy.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, the dummies. Yeah.
Another episode yeah. with the two of us as the dummies.
Yeah.
But
oh, well,
no,
yeah.
the dummies from back in high school. You
right.
know.
Yeah. See,
you're dummies.
Yeah. Well, people out there won't know, but I'm a ventriloquist.
I know.
And so, you know, I have my dummies over years, where now I'm having a little bit of a renaissance again.
That's
to
awesome.
Bring them out. So we've
can
got,
you bring your dummies?
I
back?
Will next time. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be great.
Cool.
I have Mahoney Jones. I have Mooney Malone and Andrew.
Oh my gosh.
And so those three, I'll see who's going to be in the mood. But you know, they haven't aged a bit since high school. Hey, and no plastic surgery.
Exactly. They right. don't even need a facelift.
And they call them
anything.
The dummy. Yeah, I tell
That's
you.
That's so true.
That is
well,
true.
I can't wait for that. That's going to
yeah,
be so
be fun.
Awesome.
That'll
so,
be fun, yeah.
Well, cool. Welcome to another edition of Feral or Fabulous. I'm going to try and stump him. I'm not sure. I didn't really stump you last time, but we're going to see if you are going to be able to answer these in the way that I think you are going to answer them.
Mm.
First word I've got, grab your paddle.
Oh, grab my paddle.
Yes, you've
okay.
got your feral or fabulous paddle.
Right, okay.
And then the first one is astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Feral or fabulous? Astronomy.
You mean in general?
Yeah.
Yeah, fabulous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I talked to somebody the other day that was like, they were not a fan of astronomy at all. So
how's that?
Well, I think it just... They don't believe in the idea of there being other life out there in space.
Oh, really?
And yeah, uh-huh. I think okay. I didn't realize people had that strong an opinion
they
on
can,
it.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But I'm right. curious. So you're a fan? So you like the idea of
life?
Space
in my view,
and,
life is everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere in the universe.
Do you believe that there are beings on other planets?
Countless.
Yes.
Infinite
okay.
worlds.
Okay.
Infinite. Yeah.
Yeah, same. Okay.
They just maybe are getting a little bit. You know, that's another subject.
Yeah, exactly. That's bit, another podcast for sure.
We're a bit controlled
yes.
and a bit censored
yes.
on this lonely little blue ball. But
yeah.
Absolutely, life is everywhere and it has infinite expressions.
Yes.
There's life as we know it.
Right.
But there's also a lot of life as we don't know it.
Exactly.
And so, yeah.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, that's like saying there are no pink dolphins, even though they're on the other side of the world.
Exactly.
Right. So then
just because we haven't seen them or we're not aware of them doesn't mean that they don't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Okay, this next one, I have no idea. I know you're a vegetarian, right? Pretty much?
Yeah, I'm vegetarian. Mostly vegan.
But okay, you're vegan.
A little bit vegetarian, but
okay.
no egg, though, no.
No, okay. So you kind of are particular about your vegetarianism. You lean more to veganism.
For about 95%.
Okay.
97%
these days. Cool, cool, cool. Yeah. You're way healthier than I am. But that's for another podcast.
Right.
Beets.
Beets?
Beets.
What you mean, like the food? The
like kind you eat.
Oh,
beets.
Fabulous.
Oh, God.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect example of what I'm talking about. Such they're nasty. They're just, they taste like dirt on
then
a
you,
stick.
You I mean, haven't, then you don't know how to cook them. Or you haven't had great cooking of beets.
No, you know what? I'm a foodie.
Okay. I'll have to make you some.
Okay.
You'll love my beets.
I will definitely
defer.
And it's
not going to be off the beaten path.
Okay.
It'll be really good. You'll love them. You'll say, wow, well, how come I haven't had these before?
I will then defer.
Okay.
And I will wait to have your beets because I have had beets in many, many restaurants. Many people have, provided lovely beets, or at least they said they were lovely. And they were nasty.
Well,
they
what,
were
style? Like, what style? What style have you tried?
I've had them in a salad. I've had them kind of like, I don't know if they were like roasted, on a salad. Okay. I've had them where like out of a can growing up. Remember the purple beets?
Yeah, of course. Sure. The pickle beets.
Oh,
that
my.
You got on your cafeteria tray.
Yes.
You got two or three pieces.
Yeah, no, just the thought of that makes me absolutely ill. You know what I mean? I love the color eggplant as witnessed by this studio.
Well, there's 16 different varieties of eggplants.
Yeah, exactly.
More or less, yeah.
But, I'm actually allergic to eggplant, but as far as the beets, I just think of a beet and I'm just like not having it. So, no, I'm not with you on that.
You know those golden beets?
You know what?
Fantastic.
I actually have had a golden beet in a salad.
They're so good.
They actually, they weren't. Sorry.
No, I gotta make some.
I like the color gold. I love your shirt. But golden beets, not having it. No, unless, like I said, I'll defer to you having you cook some beets, and I will try them.
Okay.
I will definitely give them a
deal.
We have a deal on that. So okay, next thing, flowers.
And of course. Fabulous. My favorite. Yeah.
Of course. I have to mention this because you walked in today
with
flowers
and
I was laughing and I told the producers, I'm like, okay, well, I just got one of my, feral or fabulous things answered because you walked in with flowers.
And well, I am a little psychic. So,
yes, apparently I think you are. Actually, I've always thought that. I mean, even since you were a little kid, you've always had that sixth sense,
Everybody
or seventh
does.
Sense or
Everybody
whatever.
Does. It's a matter of degree and it's a matter of awakening and it's a matter of
practice.
I
think you're in touch with yours more though. I think you have a better fine tune.
Maybe. I've worked with, thousands over the years. I'm okay, but wow, some of these people are truly gifted.
No. But I think you are as well. So anyway, very interesting on the flowers.
Okay.
So sauna. How do you feel about a sauna?
Fabulous.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of things recently about how great saunas can be for
just
you
just don't
physically.
Go to extremes. From a medical point of view, people go to extremes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because it can affect your blood pressure, heart. And all.
Okay.
Remember like that Bikram, not saying anything about the brand,
yes.
But hot yoga.
Yes.
It's not a natural yoga in my view. And, according to the ancients.
You have to be careful with it.
It's according to the ancients. It's artificially heating up the body. It can affect blood pressure, pulse, so many factors.
Yes.
Yeah, just like that. You've got to use common sense.
Right.
But saunas can be very relaxing, very cleansing and,
Okay, cool.
And very
good for
the system.
No okay. Yeah. So yeah, very, very good. Because I was thinking, how do you feel about at-home saunas?
They're okay.
Okay.
As long as you use common sense.
Do you think they're of value?
Very much.
Because they're not cheap.
They're not cheap.
But I've heard they're good for you.
They are good for you. But it's like anything else. You order a treadmill from, Ronco on the, that's an old word.
Ronco. Oh my gosh. I haven't heard Ronco in forever since I used to watch Midnight
Remember the Ginsu
special.
Knife. The Ginsu knife. Hi-ya.
Exactly. The Ginsu knife.
Kids, you won't know that one.
Exactly. We just left everybody in the dust. They're what are you talking about, Ronco? And
but just like you order a treadmill, it just sits there.
Battlestar Galactica.
Right. But if you order a treadmill or one of those little, there's 10,000 different things for your waist.
Yes.
And they all go to waste. No pun intended, because you don't use them. You just buy them.
So true.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But if you really do use it, then great.
Okay.
Yeah. More power
to you.
So it can
be. Okay.
Yeah. It can be
good.
And it also depends on who you're with. Because a lot of hanky panky can occur in saunas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, you need to find out.
Okay.
Go get a sauna.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then see what then look at Dave's face. Right.
Exactly.
There you go.
I'll tell Dave. I'll tell him we need to buy a sauna. And
right.
I'll use that as the hook.
Yeah, the
we
new
need
brand
to...
is the hanky panky.
It's the hanky panky sauna.
That's right.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. I'll have to look into that. Okay. Next one, ballet.
Oh, fantastically fabulous. Okay. 5-star.
Okay.
Have you not watched some of those Facebook reels on these kids?
I mean, I love ballet.
It's
beautiful.
No, but compared to even 10 years, 20 years, the talent is
incredible.
Just breathtaking.
I agree.
They're sent from the gods.
I agree.
There's this kid named Kalo, and he is just absolutely beyond gifted.
Wow. I did not know you were that into it. So that's like I'm learning. Yeah. Very cool.
Well, my first significant other was a ballet dancer with
I did not know that.
American Ballet Theater. So
Oh my gosh.
I got my dose of ballet in those days.
Oh, I guess you did. And see, I didn't even know that. So I'm learning stuff.
I sometimes had to stuff them with the ballet shoes and say, keep quiet. No, just kidding. No, but the caliber is incredible. And now what's interesting is ballet is more, the stars are men by far.
I did not know that.
In the past, women, but now, absolutely. I mean, there's women stars too.
Sure.
But the real.
Weren't the women more the stars?
Definitely,
and then it's kind of morphing into the men?
Now, it's huge. It's a huge area. And the talent with each generation is just absolutely indescribable. Yeah.
Is it because their physicality is improving with the generation? Or what do you think?
I think that's
is
a divine mystery.
Okay.
Where, you know, people coming onto the planet are bringing their own gifts, talents, abilities, hopefully for a positive evolution of this planet.
Okay.
That's what I feel.
Interesting.
And that's in every area.
Yeah. Good to know. Yeah. I did not know that. Okay. Last one, Ferris wheel.
Feral.
Okay.
Feral. Yeah.
Honestly, I feel the same way. Why do you think it's feral?
I don't know. I do know, but it's like kids, they like that thrill. Okay, that's fine. But it's very disorienting to the head and brain.
Yeah.
And also, you know, there's always that issue of getting stuck.
Right.
Did you see that the other day?
No, exactly. No, I feel the same
way. That triple Ferris wheel got stuck with kids, you know, and adults hanging midair.
I always think back to that movie Sleeping with the Enemy, you know, where Julia Roberts is going around and it's like the psycho is watching her. And I associate Ferris wheels with things ending badly.
Right.
So I just don't like the idea of getting on one and having, you know, having something
maybe
bad
50-50. Because at the same time, if you're a kid, and you're using common sense, then okay, but it's always a risk.
And you haven't been tainted, you know, with what all can, what are those movies that my sons watch all the time? Final Destination, I think it is. They're obsessed with all that series of Final Destination. So I think several people have left or have been left to their own demise on a Ferris wheel. So I'm just kind of like not having it. So anyway.
Well, again, risk is everywhere. You can drown in a cup of water.
Or a cup of tequila.
Well, take your pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Take your pick.
Yeah, pick your poison. So, no, very good. Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy to have you back on Feral or Fabulous.
Excellent.
We look forward to seeing you guys on the next episode of Feral or Fabulous. Take care. Bye.
Thank you.